following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Buy 5-hour energy, pink lemonade, and you can help others along the way. A portion of every bottle that they sell goes to fight breast cancer and to think that's well. The more you take, the more they'll pay. You can make them write a big check today. And if you're feeling a little slow, the 5-hour energy will help you go. It's got B vitamins and nutrients, it's tasty but it's sugar-free, no artificial colors, and it's bottled in the USA with 4 tiny calories.
From now until December 31st, a portion of each sale of new Pink Lemonade 5-Hour Energy will be donated to the Avon Foundation for Women Breast Cancer Crusade to support research and access to care.
5-Hour Energy Pink Lemonade. The more you take, the more they pay. So buy a bottle of Pink Lemonade, and you can help fight breast cancer today.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, from the Sooners to the Tigers to the Buffaloes next door, we'll fight them all with honor, stand tall above the rest. The Huskers of Nebraska are the ones that we love best. See that line of blockade, watch those backs move out, heading for the goal line and a touchdown, there's no doubt. Fast as a mighty jet plane, smooth as a brand new car. Every player with the big red is a football superstar.
That was a joke.
Can you feel it?
Day by day, we get better and better, and so we can't be beat. We won't be beat. I said now, day by day, we get better and better, and so we won't be beat. We can't be beat.
Empty backfield now. Cousins awaits the shotgun snap. He has it. Holds. Over the middle. Pass is intercepted. Lance Sorrell. 45. 40. Lance Sorrell to the outside. 30-yard line. Knocked out of bounds. Lance Sorrell. Brett's kick sailing towards the uprights. And the kick is good. And Maher drills one from 51 yards out.
This is a 29-yard field goal attempt to win the game for Nebraska. And what would be a miraculous comeback in the final 40 seconds. Brown for the win. The kick is up. And it's good. He got it. Nebraska wins it.
28-26 is our score. Kickoff into the end zone will be brought out by Abdullah. Abdullah, a little bit of shake and bake. With room.
Third down and 20. Quinn, good protection. Pass to the sidelines. Good. Out of bounds at the 25. Todd Brown made the catch, and Quinn hit him right on the numbers.
Fake the handoff. Back to throws. Martinez looking downfield. Has a man out there. Pass caught. Touchdown. Quincy and Enwa. And the Huskers back to it in a score.
Big down. Third to long five. Heading to the end zone, and very close to it was Dean Steinkoder. He's in for a touchdown.
Stretch play to Bell, trying to get to the outside. Compton hits him and drops him at the 10. What a play by Will Compton.
Backfield in the eye, wide outs both ways. And here is a fake. Druckenmiller on the keeper, loses the football. It's picked up by the Huskers, and they're going to run it in. Jason Peter for the score.
Snap back to Taylor. Fakes the handoff, looking to throw. Guns, pass, caught. Cotton, 15, 10. Bam to the 5. Dives for the end zone. He's down at the 1-yard line. Ben Cotton.
And the pitch to Warner. And Warner gets it up about the 29. Jimmy Williams comes up with a football, and Nebraska's got it. Jimmy Williams came out of the stack with a football.
Back to throw is Cousins, holding, looking, going downfield, looking for Cunningham. He goes up, ball knocked away at the last second. Stafford was there, so was Ciante Evans.
We are ready to settle the Big 12 football championship deep in the heart of Texas. Major Applewhite back in the pocket. Eludes one. Husker is in trouble, and down he goes. Warren Kaiser was there.
And the Cornhuskers will go for two. They trail 17-50. Full house backfield. Frazier will throw. It's good. Two-point conversion. Eric Alford made the catch.
Yes!
game tied at 17. Fumble picked up on the bounce by Keithen. And now down for Mitchell. Double team. And Mitchell got it. How did he get that one?
Tater in the shotgun. Burkhead off to his right. Snap back to Tater. Holds it. Looks. Throws. Pass. Caught. Kenny Bell. Dive. Touchdown.
Sal Jones, the lone setback from the 47 of CU. Frazier takes the snap. Gives it on a counter play. Jones runs behind a blocker. 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 15. He's gone. Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown.
How about the biggest comeback in school history?
Option far side. Back to throw is Martinez. Now being chased. Throws it out. A flat. Burkhead makes a catch. Sits a tackle. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Rex Burkhead. Touchdown, Nebraska. And the Huskers are to within a point.
Holy moly. Child did that. Put him in the aisle.
Fourth down and 8. The ball at the 24-yard line of Miami. But they're down by 7.
Ooh, look at this play. Jack Smith. Touchdown, Nebraska.
Now Wildcat set. Burkhead awaits the snap. On 2nd and 10, Marlowe in motion. They give it off to Marlowe off the jet motion. On 35, Marlowe to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Tim Marlowe knocked out of bounds inside the 5-yard line at the 1-yard line. Tim Marlowe takes the handoff for 39 yards.
Option play, the pitch to Irving Fryer around the right side. Irving Fryer could be gone. Irving Fryer, touchdown.
It's another Football Friday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, Jim Langan here with you as Nebraska getting all set tomorrow. 2:30, taking on Penn State University, that rivalry game, that other division game that we have scheduled as on an annual basis with Penn State. A lot of history, a lot of tradition playing Penn State football. Nebraska and Penn State, they go way back. And I'm old enough to remember a lot of those great games from the early 80s. And it's a lot of fun to play those guys. It's good that they're our cross-division rival.
Yeah, they had that first Pigskin Classic, you know, and that's what they played. But I think, here we got David on the phone, I think, from Penn State, and let's get right to him. He's getting ready to board a plane, I think.
Hey, David Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot News. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We might have you for a short period of time because you're heading over to Lincoln.
I am. I heard the weather's wonderful out there. Am I talking to Doug or Daddy?
Well, we're both daddies. I'm Randy, and Jim Langan's with us. Doug is on his way to the state volleyball tournament over in Grand Island, so you're kind of stuck with us. David, I guess the elephant's still in the room. It's been a year, and this week kind of really marks that year. Go through us, in your mind, what all has transpired and how Penn State football is different, how the atmosphere has changed in the last 54 weeks or so.
Got an hour?
No. You tell me. You're loading up for the plane.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I can encapsulate all that in a couple of minutes. We broke the story. I guess you know that, or maybe you don't. I don't know. I was the first guy to hear about the shower scene, actually. And then Sarah Gannum took over. She had heard about the wrestling mat scene a year before I did, but she was working at the paper in State College. So she really drove the entire story and won the Pulitzer Prize for good reason. I don't know that if she doesn't press it with the AG's office, I don't know that it ever gets really pursued. So it was a tsunami that we knew was coming, but we couldn't have imagined exactly how profound the whole thing was. It's been a really huge experience for all of us. Plus, it's also been a very traumatic experience for Penn State graduates and people. It's been tough on them because it sort of called into question everything they believed in, and a few people at the top kind of disparaged and tarnished all of that. So that's the best I can do.
David, talk about this on a kind of a personal level for you. I mean, obviously, as a journalist, there's an objectivity that you have to have, but you get to know people in that area. You do get invested in a community. There's some pride in your university that you're covering. And again, there is that objectivity. And you do a job and you break a major story, but there are going to be those that are your readers that are going to go, why couldn't we just cover this up? Why? And talk a little bit about the growth of how people...
Who would do that and why? Cover up child abuse? Cover up sex with little boys? I don't know why anyone would want to cover that up.
Well, but there was that fallback. And you take a look at how people approached that 1 year ago versus today.
I don't think anyone was advocating covering it up. They were advocating they were clinging to their image of certain people in the hierarchy at Penn State, especially Joe Paterno. That's what they were doing. So, you know, you deal with it, and. I don't worry about it. I've never worried about it. I only try to care about pursuing the truth the best we can find it. I don't care about whether sycophant fans are displeased.
Yeah, I think that's very true. You want to make sure the truth gets out on a situation like that, and once it gets through. So, you know, the cover-up situation, and probably not what we meant to say there, but what it was is just that, you know, with Penn State and how many years Joe Paterno had been there and his legacy, you know, what he's done. You know, I mean, the legacy of a lot of people. You know, look at what O.J. Simpson was looked like until a situation happened,
sure.
Too.
Yeah.
I
think there's still some gray area in whether he actively covered it up. Certainly there was criminal negligence there, that at the very least.
A better phrase I should use was maybe an acceptance of the reevaluation. How has that gone with the acceptance of the reevaluation of what transpired?
Well, some people will never be, you know, some people want to be blind. They're willingly blind, so... That's that. You can't do anything about those people. You don't worry.
Hey, let's talk a little
25%, bit about 25% of the fan base that has been so either discouraged or dispirited or disillusioned that they'll never come back. And part of those people think it's that they need someone to blame. So there is that. There are those people out there. There have been, for instance, the Northwestern game, probably 20,000 empty seats. I don't know if those people are ever coming back. And that also goes hand-in-hand with a ticket price increase and an insistence by the university a couple of years ago on a seat licensing plan that a lot of people did not like. It looked to them like the university was just trying to squeeze as much cash out of the fans as possible, and it was met with a lot of resistance. So those two things combined have scared some people away, no doubt about it.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about Penn State's football this year. You know, right after the Virginia game, there was a missed field goal there. It was a 17-16 game. Virginia went on and lost six straight games, you know, right after Virginia won that game. And Penn State went on a nice roll. I mean, talk a little bit about how well that was handled. And, you know, really, you had Ohio State kind of on the ropes, and it just kind of got away in a couple turnovers.
Yeah, I think this team's been extremely well coached. They have progressed and gotten better every week. Even the kicker, the young place kicker who was put in that situation, kind
Correct.
Of a surprise, because the previous kicker, Anthony Farah, transferred to Texas. Sam Chickenwell was supposed to be a kicker. He made a couple of kicks last week, short kicks. He made four extra points and two field goals at Purdue. So even he looks like he's improving. He's getting well. The offensive line has progressed every week. They had trouble against Ohio State, and I think Bill O'Brien maybe overestimated how good they had gotten. And I don't know that they were ready to run block a crew like Hankins and those guys. But the quarterback, Matt McGloin, has certainly improved just amazingly. I mean, he was a former walk-on. Who was, you know, one of the worst-rated quarterbacks in the NCAA last year. Now he's third in the Big Ten, and what is certainly not a finished year in the Big Ten, but he's making his reads, making his checkdowns, playing the game sensibly and with intelligence, and doing exactly what O'Brien tells him to do. So those have been the most dramatic takeaways, and they're a different team than they were in Charlottesville. That was a team that was a little unsure of itself, and they still win that game if kick and can make one field goal attempt out of the four that he missed. So it's been a joy to cover. I mean, I think O'Brien has really handled himself really well too.
We're speaking with David.
Go ahead.
I was just going to reintroduce you, David. David Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot News. You're actually taking us in the direction that I, sorry to interrupt you, that I was going to go. Do you think Bill O'Brien is the Big Ten Coach of the Year, or do you think maybe it might even be even bigger than that?
I would make him certainly a candidate for National Coach of the Year. I just think he's been just tremendous. One of the nicest things, I think he's the best thing he's done is the way I'm sitting in my seat right now, guys. Sorry. I am amazed in the dignity that he's handled himself, and yet not tried to. So many coaches, when they're faced with something they don't really want to talk about, try to sandbag it, try to really put a wall up in front of that subject. He is very willing to acknowledge that. This is the hand we were dealt, and we were in this position for a reason. He says that phrase all the time.
David, so I know you got to go, because
I think that's really smart. I mean, that's a bright way to handle the thing.
Right. David, I know you got to go because I know there's rules on flights. I don't fly that much, but I know there's rules on them about talking and et cetera. But I do appreciate it. I think in Nebraska, you know, we, at 53 weeks later, we know we're talking to you, and we can kind of feel a little bit more, you know, we're thinking about, hey, we're trying to win the Big Ten championship and winning games, and we can still see there's a lot of things in the hearts of Penn State and their alumni. Thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome, guys.
All right. Again, David Jones from the Harrisburg Patriot News. And I apologize for not phrasing it as well as I kind of meant to, but I'll be honest with you. A year ago when this happened and they released, they fired Joe Pa, I thought it was a little early because there wasn't enough information out there. That information is coming out there a little bit more, and the reevaluation of the situation with Penn State football is really interesting. There was a wonderful cover article in Sports Illustrated, "We Were Penn State," shortly after that happened. And another thought, I just read this the other day, that maybe you shouldn't look at this and then call this adversity. You know, Penn State has faced adversity this year. What we're talking about shouldn't be termed as adversity. I mean, we're just in a dynamic that it's really hard to kind of discuss this openly, honestly, and not lessen really what had happened there, what this is all about. It's very difficult to talk about, I think.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we could touch, you know, we were going to talk a little bit about the football game and what Penn State was like, and you could see that David, he wanted to talk about a few other things, you know, that but that's still on their mind, you know, and here, I mean, we're very much aware of it, and we're very sensitive to the situation, you know, but you could tell that, you know, I think you said the word cover-up or something like that, and boy, immediately he'd heard that too many times, and he hadn't heard it on the Doug and Daddy show before, but it makes it kind of fun, you know, you and I, here we come in here, and we've got other jobs, and we're doing things in our life, and next thing you know, we're on live on the radio going, whoa, here we go.
Sorry, David, didn't mean to step on your toes there. Well, you know, again, breaking the story, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of pride there, and what you do as a reporter is you search for the truth, and that's their job. But there was just so many people when that first came out that didn't want to believe it. There is this that denial. No, it can't be at our place, can't be here. And it's just really shocking. And I'll tell you what, I would agree with them. I think Bill O'Boyle has done such a wonderful job. We can talk X's and O's, we can talk plays, we can talk wins, we can talk losses. You can talk about people leaving the program and then getting people to believe in the program. I think what Bill O'Boyle has done there under the most unique and terrible of circumstances has been a phenomenal coaching job. It really has on every level, growing young men, making bringing pride back into a program, and a little bit of that is probably winning football games as well.
Yeah, you know, Penn State, you know, after they lost to Ohio and they turned around and lost to Virginia, and I think Virginia might be 3-6 or even 2-7 or something like that, and they lost that game to them. Even if they win and kick that field goal, they're beating a kind of a poor Virginia team. But, you know, Penn State, you know, you look at the coach of the year, guess who the coach of the year is? It's usually somebody that they expect their team to go about 3 and 8, and I'm talking about the National Coach of the Year, 3-8, and then they turned around and they got like a 9-2 team, like a guy at Oregon State. You know, they're the type of guys that gets that. It's never usually like the coach at Alabama. When they're expected to go 11-0 and they do it again, very seldom do they get that, you know, Coach of the Year. But, you know, Bo Pelini, look what he's done at Nebraska. I mean, this year, I mean, you know, hey, if Nebraska wins the Big Ten, you know, I remember Michigan State. They were talking about winning it, maybe Michigan. Nebraska was never really concerned that, except for people in our state. We weren't nationally, we weren't getting predicted to win this Big Ten. But
no, you know, Michigan started in the top 10.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's a lot, there's some guys, you know, and of course, you know, I think the big story is if Indiana would knock off Wisconsin and they play for the Big Ten championship, even if they don't win it. You know, that's got to be a story. I don't. Indiana wasn't a school that was talked about winning the Big Ten. In fact, just going to a bowl game would have been a big deal for them. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, the job that O'Brien has been able to do, that Bill O'Brien has been able to do there, has just been absolutely, absolutely incredible. Well, it's Football Friday, and as always, we've coming to you from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. And don't forget, they have a tremendous selection of new and used cars. They got 2013 Buick Enclaves, a half dozen of those, Chevrolet Equinoxes, over $1,000 off selected trims. They have 50 Chevrolet Silverados, over $7,000 off selected trims. So they are your truck headquarters over at the Chevrolet side. And over the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram area, they have 34, 2012, and 2013 Rams, have over $8,500 off selected trims. They also have 2013 Dodge Journeys, 15 of those, and 17 2013 Chrysler 200s. Those are beautiful-looking cars, and they all start under $20,000. They also have 225 pre-owned vehicles in stock. Whatever you're looking for, they can get you all set up at Midway Auto Dealership in Kearney. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little volleyball and some more football, and I got a couple of officiating questions for you, good sir. We'll do that right after this timeout.
This is Terry Bradshaw. I've won a lot of games by 1 point, so I know the value of an extra point. My friends at Ferguson are fond of extra points, too. Ferguson's been the leader for plumbing and HVAC supply since 1953, so you always get what you need fast.
Touchdown!
And now, when pros order online with Ferguson, you'll get Pro Plus Rewards points. Use these points to get stuff like sports gear, gadgets, and more. Check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.com and tell them Terry sent you.
Thank you for calling Discover Card.
Listen, your 5% cash back program is to die for. What's the new category?
You will love it. Right now, you can get 5% cash back everywhere you shop online through December. Only from Discover.
Shut the door. 5% cash back? I shop online all the time.
No joke. Everywhere online.
Best category ever.
Only Discover gives you 5% cash back everywhere you shop online through December. Sign up for 5% at Discover.com or call 1-800-DISCOVER. 5% cash back on up to $1,500 in purchases online.
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 14th and 15th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, showcases hundreds of exhibitors that will help your ag business succeed. While you browse, enjoy free lunches and entertainment. Sponsored by Exchange Bank, Kearney Implement, 880 KRVN, and Monsanto. The 2012 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 14th and 15th.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
Saturday on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football, a new rivalry is born in the SEC West as number 15 Texas A&M travels to top-ranked Alabama. Hi, I'm Drew Bonadelli. Join Dale Hellestray and me for all the action as freshman phenom Johnny Manziel and the Aggies try to put an end to the Crimson Tide's perfect season. Texas A&M, Alabama. If it's NCAA football, it's right here.
Saturday at 2:30 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
There is a fog linger early today, followed by some breaks of sunshine, with a high in the upper 50s as northeast winds stay at about 10 to 15. Tonight, skies will clear out across the area with a low of 44. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 37.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. You know, Thanksgiving just right around the corner, only about a couple weeks away. You can call Troutman's today and reserve your locally raised and processed fresh turkeys. They also have smoked turkeys. They have a great selection of hams, both bone in and bone out. And if you want to try something a little bit different, Prime rib, always popular, especially at Troutman's with their special seasoning. And Carrie has just got a nice selection of wines as well. Plus, it's deer season, so bring your clean boneless trim to Carrie and the gang, and they'll set up all your favorites for some deer sausage, summer sausage, pepperoni sticks, jerky, brats, anything. If you can make it with a deer, they can make it at Troutman's, as they've got a great selection of steaks. And I think prime rib for Thanksgiving sounds pretty good. Probably not going to happen at my house. Gobble. Hey, there's a Doug Duty sighting.
Speaking of turkeys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, state volleyball tournament going on. You're taking off here in a little bit. Currently on our network of stations on KHAS St. Cecilia right now, taking on Hardington Cedar Catholic. That is on our sister station KHAS in Hastings. And you've got a couple of games you're doing today and a pretty busy schedule.
Yeah, we got four more going on today, and all four could be in the championship game tomorrow. There's going to be some good ones out there. I saw some good ones yesterday. Not all of our teams won, obviously, but Central Catholic gave SCOTUS all they wanted. Wood River got up on Hardington Cedar Catholic, and then Cedar Catholic's playing St. Cecilia right now. Boy, they got some girls that can block the volleyball, and that turned some things around. Kearney Catholic cruised yesterday. Northwest cruised for the most part. I think they went to lunch there in the second set, but that was the first set that they had lost since early September, so maybe York, something to remember it by. There were a few teams yesterday, Lincoln Christian, Lincoln Lutheran, York, and I know there's many more that are making their first state tournament appearance in a number of years. York, I think it was 1989. It's hard to believe this day and age you can go that long, but they're good in other things, and a pretty good fall for York. So we'll see how it all breaks down. Northwest Waverly at 2, Kearney Catholic Lincoln Christian at 8:30. Those games at the Heartland Events Center on Classic Hits 98.9. Giltner and Humphrey on the Breeze 94.5 at 4 o'clock, and that's at Granelman Senior High.
What team impressed you more than anybody else yesterday?
You know what? I'll take the homer pick on this one. Kearney Catholic. They actually came out and really dominated. They also had a little stumble at the start of the second set. They fell behind 11-4, but then they win the set 25-18. So just that little section of the night, they just crushed Lincoln Lutheran, who isn't the best volleyball team. That's a 1-8 matchup. They were 20-14, but their serving was spot on, and they took care of business yesterday. Waverly and Elkhorn South match was an amazing match. Waverly wins it in straight sets. And then Norfolk Catholic and Lincoln Christian was an outstanding match. That felt like the most intense match, and I'm sure that the best match of the day was the Exeter Milligan win over Howells Dodge, 19-17 in the fifth set.
What are you looking forward to today? I mean, is there? Maybe it isn't even anything that's on our stations, but you look at that and go, that's going to be a great volleyball game.
Well, storylines, Papillion La Vista South has already beaten Millard West in A to advance on, and Lutheran High Northeast knocked off the number one seed North Platte St. Pat's, which is no surprise. They're the defending C2 champions, so Lutheran High Northeast is back in the championship, and if St. Cecilia get there, they're going to have their hands full. But Northwest, Granite Northwest, only has two losses, and again, that was at the same tournament Kearney Catholic was in, the Beatrice Invitational, that first Saturday. That's the last time they lost. And they lost to Elkhorn South and Waverly the same weekend. In fact, if Northwest had beaten Waverly, it would have been Northwest and Kearney Catholic in the finals. But Waverly beat Northwest. It's one of their only two losses, so they get a chance to avenge that today. Northwest been to five consecutive finals, and they haven't won any of them. And now this year, they're the favorite for the first time. And with Gross getting knocked off, I know Gretna has got a lot of momentum, but you have got to think that the Northwest Waverly, if Northwest wins, I think this is their championship match. If Waverly wins, then that maybe gives Sydney or Gretna a chance. But Sydney? What? We don't talk a lot about Class B on this program for a variety of reasons, but the main one is there aren't that many Class B schools in our listening area. So I think that Waverly-Northwest matchup is going to be a good one. And then Giltner-Humphrey, a lot of people believe that that's going to be for the D2 state title in the semifinals today.
I think an overall theme, sometimes tournaments have a theme. I think this theme this year could be finally. There's the Grand Island Northwest, finally. Kearney Catholic, finally. You know?
Hastings St. Cecilia.
St. Cecilia, finally.
After the great runs that they have had. And if Exeter Milligan or O'Neill St. Mary's gets there in D1, they've got a chance to do that as well. D2, Cedar Valley, which is Greeley, Wallback, Cedar Rapids. Mm-hmm. Greeley has had some success there before, and Greeley, Wallback as well. So, and Giltner has too. They've got some state titles in the last handful of years. So that's what you got in volleyball. And then, hey, Randall, they put too much in one weekend. Jimmy, tonight, I know you're there. Are you officiating tonight at Foster Field?
No, I don't have that.
Six-man championship? Come on.
Hey, I have the iPad ready to roll with the music selections tonight. I am ready for some six-man
football. You are PA-ing it?
Oh, yeah. It is fun to say first and 15. I don't care what anybody says. You know, hey, they get a first and 15. You know, if you haven't ever seen a six-man game and there's hockey on, there's a great volleyball match at UNK, if those are not your niche and you want to see something different, six-man football is a pretty good choice as well. There's no reason to stay home tonight. There's some great events here in Kearney tonight.
Now, I know Greg and Todd are going to punch me in the arm, and Skip Prince, the USHL commissioner, was on the show yesterday. Go to the volleyball, okay? Then slide over for the second half of the football. Now, that's, again, if you go to UNK volleyball, you probably want to be at the state tournament. There's so much going on. There's a ton more hockey games to go to, and they've got a lot of great promotion. We're getting close to Star Wars night. I'm getting fired up about that for the Storm.
Finally,
the Storm are home Sunday.
You can finally wear your outfit.
I'm going as Princess Leia. The Storm are home again on Sunday, so let's go Sunday to the Storm.
Okay, and I'm planning on
that
doing
way you hit it all.
I have a 3-on-3 basketball tournament then.
James?
You know, those six-man football games, those rules are a little different, you know, because everybody's eligible to receive a pass.
Yep.
You can throw it to anybody. You know, like you said, you get the first down at 15, you know. You get more points if you kick the ball through the uprights on your extra points. You get two there, and you only get one for running it in, you know, or throwing it in. Yep. And field goals are worth a ton of points. You know, they
four.
They ought to give more than that. They
four points for a field goal.
A field goal ought to be worth about, like, 30 points. You know what I mean? They ought to just, you know, give you, you know, you just get that one drive down there and just start popping field goals in the fourth quarter.
That'll teach somebody to bring back the drop kick. You know?
There you
go. I mean, that drop kick's good way to go in six-man football.
And think about this, folks. Why would a field goal be worth more? Why is kicking the extra point worth more? Okay, think about it. You got six guys on your side. Somebody's got to snap it. Somebody's got to hold it. Somebody's got to kick it. That leaves you three guys to block six that can bring the house. So everything has to be perfect, and you've got to. There's no three-step kick. It's Mark Mosley-esque. You soccer style that baby right through. And I have seen some drop kicks, which gives you one more guy to block. But that's tough.
Yeah.
Not many Doug Fluties around.
Yeah.
But it's tonight, 7:00. Juanita Palisade, Sioux County. Sioux County's only lost to Juanita Palisade, who's undefeated and number one. And then you've got A and B semifinals tonight. For Aurora, they got a great chance to get to the finals. I mean, everybody's tough now, but boy, to win the two games that they've won already. I mean, this is a team that got 54 to nothing. I don't care who you are, where you are. Anytime that happens to you in the season, has that team ever made the semifinals or a finals ever?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's just huge.
That's amazing. And you know what's kind of interesting, too? In all the lower classes, really the higher seeds have won. There hasn't been a huge upset where somebody has gotten beat, you know, that's not there. I mean, I'm talking about 1 and 2 seeds making it all the way. In Class B, you know, right now what you've got left, and the four teams in Class B, you've got the 5th seed, the 6th seed, the 8th seed, and the 10th seed. 1, 2, 3, and 4, they're gone. You know, so you talk about anybody can win that now, and you got the 8th seed, the 6th seed, you know, the 10th. You know, in Class A, you know, you've got that Millard North and Millard South matchup, which would be very interesting.
Yeah, and again, you just take a look at those seedings. That's kind of awesome. I mean, it really is kind of cool. All right, I was going to warn you. I got an officiating question for you.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to fail on
no,
this.
No. Here's my question. I mean, we've seen so many of these late hits. Why is it when we're kind of on the pile and the guy hasn't gone down yet and he's being stood up, people can run 5 yards and smack the crap out of him, and it's called football at that point. But the exact same thing happens on the sideline. You see a flag. If their left toe, their little pinky toe, is on the sideline and he's still trying to stay in bounds at that moment, if there's contact, there tends to be a flag. It just seems to me that there is a bias to throwing the flag the closer you get to a sideline.
And the reason for that is there's things on the sideline that can hurt people extremely bad that aren't part of the field. You know, if it's
Woody Hayes?
Woody Hayes is
nice,
one.
Nice.
Hey, well, you look at Oklahoma State's football field, even in the NCAA. I mean, there's water coolers over there. There are coaches that are older. They're like us, you know. And yeah. I mean, and there's you know, you got a lot of people over there on those sidelines. And I think, you know, a little bit more that a lot of it is, you know, why are you doing that? Guy's going out of bounds, and you're just taking one last shot. So I agree with you, but it's judgment. It is some judgment. You know, you got a guy running, and he's got forward progress. I mean, let's think about this. You've got a 245-pound running back that's already got 230 yards, and we've seen him all day long, and he's hard to bring down. So four guys got him, and the fifth guy comes in to get him. Do you have to do that to the JV quarterback that just came in that's 109 pounds? You don't need five guys to bring him down. So there's some judgment there sometimes when you're looking at the athletic ability. You look at the guy that's a field goal kicker, he's not been running for 250 yards, you know what I mean? He gets the ball and somebody wants to take a cheap shot on him after he's, you know, they blocked the field goal. Now they're running it back for a touchdown, and then some guy runs over there and he annihilates this field goal kicker. Was that an unnecessary block? He wasn't going to run down that sprinter into the end zone. Yeah. So I'm trying to explain, you know, a little bit about some common sense about why was that a necessary block?
The flag on Nebraska that led to the touchdown instead of the field goal, because that was on third down, I blamed on the band. The fact that the band was right there. There wasn't any room to avoid anybody. There just wasn't enough space there. And what you say does give credence to what I kind of felt when I saw it, that if that was a more wide-open area, throwing your hands up, you would have seen that he was doing his best to get away from
him. The most critical call all year long in Nebraska football this year was when Michigan State ran an interception back for a touchdown to go up, going to go up 31-14. Some guy from Michigan State made an unnecessary block away from the play and just took a cheap shot in one of our offensive linemen. And they called it. And now, instead of being up 31-14, they got to go back on that return and start, you know, half the distance to the goal line. And if I'm not mistaken, it seems that those are some critical points.
Yeah, yeah. That's an 80-yard penalty, really. Yeah, you know, over an 80-yard penalty.
And the 7 points.
And the 7 points, yeah. Way different deal. All right. Well, thanks for the perspective on that, because to me, it's just kind of frustrating that I always think that those penalties were unsportsmanlike and that sort of thing. Unless you can really get the sense that it's intentional, I think we're throwing too many flags. And we want to protect kids. You mentioned protecting a kicker. My son's a kicker, you know. I'm protecting people. I absolutely understand that, and that's probably the most important thing you do as an official is protect those players. But I think we may have crossed a line, and we need to reevaluate that, in my opinion.
Well, you know, players can't come back anymore. They used to come, you know, these concussions, they're talking about concussions. They want us to call helmet to helmet. And you watch the NFL and the NCAA, they are really cracking down on these helmet to helmet hits. And so at the high school level, we have to do that too. Any referee that won't throw his flag, he's just sitting there and he's, I don't know. Because if you throw your flag, guess what usually happens to you with the crowd?
Yeah.
They yell at you. They don't yell at the other four referees. They see which guy threw his flag. You know, it doesn't mean we're right all the time, and it doesn't mean I'm right all the time. You know, I gave you a sense that I want to see the whole picture of what's happened, what the score is. And, you know, but those sidelines, there are some things over there where there are some dangerous things where people can get hurt. So.
There was a really hard helmet-to-helmet contact with a loose ball situation on a kickoff in the Kearney Catholic Adams Central game. Clean football play, a hard hit. You could hear it. I was 50 yards away from it, and it was a hard hit. Concussions were there, pretty serious concussion for one of the Kearney Catholic players. Clean football play, but it was helmet to helmet, but we're going after a ball. They weren't aiming their helmets for each other. They were both trying to get their hands on a football, and their helmets just kind of happened, you know, to meet. So, I mean, protecting people is, I agree with you, very important, but it's almost impossible to do that real well without and always hit the mark.
Yeah, well, they did change the onside kick rule this year, you know, where you can't make contact with people.
Well, it was more of a pooch kick that kind of
happened. Yeah, and I don't know what happened. I didn't see it. But I do know this. If the ball's loose and it's a fumble, people are going to be flying after the thing, and you're not going to throw your flag for that. But if there's a guy that's been, you know, a receiver that went over the middle and the pass was overthrown and everybody had an opportunity to see that, hey, that thing's overthrown, that doesn't give that defensive back that opportunity to get that helmet-to-helmet hit on that defenseless receiver. I guess that's my point. I, you know, right or wrong, that's the way I seem to see it. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go do some volleyball, guys.
Yeah, we argued.
I got to get out of here because I just made my picks in Pick'em Picks. They're terrible. They're terrible. I've told you that most of the week.
This is a tough week.
This is a terrible week. This is just a terrible week of college football. This is terrible. Actually, Nebraska-Penn State should be one of the better football games out there. Before I go, speaking of terrible, Jacksonville Jaguars. Billy Butler, Royals, but he is the Silver Slugger of the Year Award. We talked about the storm. We talked about football. We've got some other big things going on tonight besides what we've already talked about around the state. So basketball season starts for the Lopers this weekend at South Dakota Mines. Hastings men and women are playing this weekend. We got volleyball going on tonight. And Jeffrey, Oh, yeah, baby. What else starts this weekend? That's right. Before the Husker game, I know they'll all be out there. They'll all be looking. You know, they'll all be trying to get the 30-pointer.
So
that's right. Deer season starts tomorrow.
You know
I can tell you guys are brandishing and cleaning your firearms and your weapons to go out and find a 30-pointer. I'll bet there's a lot of deer hunting up there around Sumner and Eddyville and Miller. And I know there's some up in my stomping grounds and all these people that are coming in for volleyball going, I got to hunt. I got to hunt. I got to get my deer, and then I'm going to go watch some volleyball. So 9 days, got to clear things out on the roadways, hopefully.
It's awfully close. A friend of mine went to Texas, went deer hunting. You know what we call a Texas deer around here? We call them bait. I mean, they're doe. I mean, they're nothing. I mean, Nebraska does have some stellar deer hunting.
And they make, you know, they make good, you know.
Doug, you don't. You probably.
Travels will take care of you.
Doug, you do hunt much or not?
I can't see. How could I hunt?
I don't hunt either, but I don't like to hit a deer with my car.
It's not. It's not good unless it's a 30 pointer. Then you can. There you go, guys. I gotta go. Should we take a break? Okay, let's take a break. Back after this, Doug and Daddy Show.
You've got to grab the lumber, measure the studs twice to be sure, cut the studs, then start framing up the wall. All before you crack open your thermos. The question is, are you ready? Your boots will be if they're Irish Setter work boots. They're ready to take on anything from the moment you lace them up. That's what a revered brand with enduring heritage and pride in craftsmanship will do for you. New Irish Setter work boots by Red Wing Shoes. Field experienced, job ready.
Watching sports on Xfinity from Comcast is like having a front row seat to the biggest moments. With NFL Red Zone, you get every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons. ESPN Goal Line brings you the best of college football. And the Watch ESPN app lets you take the action wherever you go. This is sports on Xfinity. This is awesome. Call 1-800-XFINITY for a great offer. Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Programming varies depending on level of service. Visit Comcast.com for...
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 14th and 15th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, showcases hundreds of exhibitors that will help your ag business succeed. While you browse, enjoy free lunches and entertainment. The Gateway Farm Expo, sponsored by Farm and Ranch Network, Mid-States Irrigation, and Town and Country Bank. The 2012 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 14th and 15th.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
There is a fog linger early today, followed by some breaks of sunshine, with a high in the upper 50s as northeast winds stay at about 10 to 15. Tonight, skies will clear out across the area with a low of 44. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 37.
Back here on the Doug and Daddy Show, you know, guests on the Doug and Daddy Show get fed courtesy of the good folks over at Burger King, home of the Whopper, Kearney's favorite burger for more than 30 years. Get your Whopper today and try some sweet potato fries, the perfect salty, sweet, savory addition to any sandwich. And if you're not in the mood for burgers, well, a chicken sandwich or wrap, they get you all taken care of. And don't forget, full breakfast menu served daily from 6 until 11 a.m., including the Cinnabon Mini Bon Roll, warm dough filled with cinnamon, topped with rich cream cheese frosting, and just awesome. Locations in Kearney to serve you at 56th Street and 2nd Avenue next to Walmart, 8th Street and 3rd Avenue near the Kearney Cinema, also in Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. And no, just because we give guests, Doug Duda does not get anything from Burger King. He actually has to pay for all that wonderful stuff. He was working, trying to work the deal a little bit, but that's not how it works. He's gainfully employed here, and so there's that. He's on his way to state volleyball, and he always does such a real nice job. He, you know, hopefully he's not listening because he'll just get a big head and all that other stuff. But some good football coming up this week. Monday, we're back at it with high school football with the eight-man action. Classes C1 and C2 will be back in action on Tuesday. Six-man will crown their champion tonight over at Cope, and really one of the games that I'm really interested and excited to see. I'm probably going to go, not going to work, but I'm going to go just as a fan to watch, is Giltner and Shelton, and that's going to be a great matchup. I've had the privilege of seeing both teams play this year, and there's a lot of talent out on that football field when they get together in Shelton on Monday night.
You know, that'll be a great game. You know, what's kind of interesting about the Class D1 and D2 is that in D1, there are undefeated teams, Arapahoe, Elgin Pope John, and Exeter Milligan. And the only team that had as a loss is Bruning, Davenport, Shickley. They're 7-1. And everybody else is undefeated in the D1. Well, Bruning, Davenport, Shickley, they lost one game. They got beat 46-6. Well, who did they get beat by? They got beat by the D2 school, Giltner, who's undefeated. You know, and Shelton is involved in a D2 where there's three undefeated teams. There's Giltner, St. Francis, Falls City, Sacred Heart, and then you've got Shelton, who lost to Kennesaw, their only loss, you know. But of all the teams you could play in eight-man, all of them, if you could pick any team you'd want to play, Giltner is not the team you want to play.
That's not
you
the one.
That's not the one. You know, in D, let's put them in D1. You know, let's get them out of there. But, hey, you know, Shelton, they had a big win over Bertrand. Bertrand looked really good in their win over Kennesaw. You know, and Shelton looked like they had the answers for it. I didn't go to the game, but it looked like they had answers for it. Yeah. Shelton's had answers for a lot of things. They've had a last 2 years have been really good. This Glenn Kidd runs the ball well. You know, sounds like they just if anybody's going to give him a game, it's going to be Shelton. So,
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree with that. And again, Giltner is the real deal. I'm a big believer in Giltner, but there's a window there. There is a window of opportunity for Shelton. They're going to have to play a game. I don't think you have to play a perfect game. The Giltner coaching staff talks about playing a perfect game because they have to figure out some way to motivate their players, because generally they can show up and they're going to outclass most teams they play. I mean, take a look at their scores. That's the case. They beat an undefeated Medicine Valley team comfortably. They rolled 66 points on them and could have done more if that was going to be necessary. But that's what the coaching staff in Giltner uses to motivate. I don't think Shelton really has to play perfect. I don't think a perfect football game has ever been played, to be honest with you. But they don't have to play perfect, but they're going to have to make some breaks their way, I think. And Shelton has the talent and the skill to do that. They're going to have to jump some routes. They're going to have to take some chances. And once that starts to happen, the thing about being in that team, and I think Kearney Catholic volleyball is in this category, and maybe even Grand Island Northwest volleyball is kind of in this category. If it's a little tighter than you anticipate, a monkey appears magically from somewhere and hops on your back, and sometimes you can fight your way through that, but sometimes it's not an advantage to be that favorite.
You know, Kearney Catholic volleyball, they had that tournament, I think it was in early August or late September, and you could
have that first weekend, yeah.
And they went down there and won that thing, and ever since then, I mean, they are the real deal, and they could get beat in the state. They could get beat. They still have going to have. They have a tremendous team, but like you say, there's a team up there that's won a few of those called SCOTUS.
Yeah,
you know, and SCOTUS has been in a lot of tight volleyball. I wouldn't say a lot, but they've been in some tight matches because of their conference, who they play with, St. Cecilia, and you know, playing in the Lincoln area and stuff. So you might be right about that. I don't know if that's true or not. We'll find out.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it just in generally with athletics, it is true. Sometimes it is easier to be that. If you have two teams that are even, you know, I always want more talent. I always want more skill. I want smart players that are both smart and athletic. You know, you want that. You want to be the better team, no question. I mean, duh. That fits in that duh category. But if you have a fairly evenly balanced team, but one, for whatever reason, is perceived to be all that and a bag of chips, that comes with a major, major burden. It really does. Because, A, it's harder to get motivated, generally. I mean, come on, you've been told all these great things. It's hard to fight through that. And two, you're playing with a big target on your chest, and that can be very, very tough.
The only thing I can think that's going to be in favor of Kearney Catholic a little bit, if they play SCOTUS in that final, is the fact that today, you know, they're playing Lincoln Christian, I believe. You know, and Lincoln Christian will be that type of team that can find some things and keep it. You know, so when you beat a Lincoln Christian, you're going to be happy that you won a volleyball game. I think Lincoln Christian's around 25-4, something like that. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, that will be a big win, too. So, you know, get them ready and get set up for maybe that SCOTUS matchup.
And right now, St. Cecilia does trail Harrington Cedar Catholic 2-0 over at Grand Island Senior High. That game on our sister station, KHAS 1230. And we need to take a break here in just a second. I want to follow one thing. One thing I'd do if I'm Coach Connor tomorrow, before they hop on the bus, I would walk them into the gym over at Kearney Catholic at Cope, and I would point up there and say, point to the state volleyball championship banner. SCOTUS has some of those, if that's who they end up playing. Again, they have to take care of business tonight. But point up there and say, we don't have one of those. Until we get one of those, we're not a favorite. And I think that might be an okay approach. And Coach Connor knows, forgotten more about coaching volleyball than I'll ever dream of knowing. But until you do it, I don't know if you really can be the favorite. But Kearney Catholic does find themselves in that position.
Yeah, they're definitely the number one seed. And I think that tournament there in August, they've got a great team. They really do. And I'll tell you what, SCOTUS... you know, we look at some of these teams, you know, Ogallala and Lincoln Christian are sitting there going, hey, you guys better not plan that championship, you know, right yet. You know, we're here, you know, so, but I'm like you too. It'd be a huge upset if either one of those two got beat today.
Well, yesterday we had fantasy football. We talked with our advisor from RotoWire, and so our fantasy football discussion prompted our poll question for the day. How's your fantasy football team doing at the midway point of the regular season? And it was... Well, I'll tell you what it is. I'll get your answer here first, Jim. I don't play fantasy football. I'm holding my own. I'm slipping, and I'm done. You a fantasy football guy?
I was done years ago. Yeah, years ago. There's so many more people that know, you know, what to do than I do on this. It's amazing. I've got about three or four things I think I'm kind of good at, and I just kind of stick to those three or four things. when I go to Baskin Robbins, I get vanilla every time.
There you go. Well, anyway, it was a statistical tie for our top three choices of A, I don't play fantasy football, B, I'm holding my own, and C, I'm slipping. With 7%, I'm done. So you had 31% across the board, with the exception of I'm done. By the way, I think I'm done in at least one of my leagues. All right, today's question. Which of the following happenings under Lane Kiffin's watch at USC is the worst? Which one is the worst here? Deflating Oregon's footballs before kickoff, switching player numbers on special teams, refusing to disclose injuries during the game week, or lying about not voting his team number one in the poll? By the way, all of those are true. Pick the one that bothers you most about Lane Kiffin. And by the way, you know you're in a bad straits when that is the poll question. Which of the things that you've done is worse? Again, I don't know. Lane Kiffin, interesting guy. All right, we need to take a break, but we have to find somebody to take us on in Pigskin Pick'em. You guys lost last week, but that's another story altogether. So here is your question. Give us the correct answer, and you will be our lucky contestant. And we'll get you fed from Big Dally's Deli and see if you can win that gift card courtesy of Cunningham's. All right. Penn State and Nebraska have played 14 times in their histories. How many times has Penn State defeated the Huskers? First correct caller will take on Jim and I here in Pigskin Pick'em. Again, Penn State, Nebraska played 14 times. How many times have the Nittany Lions come away with a win? We'll give you the answer and find our contestant after we come back from this break.
Attention homeowners. If your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 30.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and a Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
For live coverage of the state volleyball and football playoffs, keep it right here on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. We continue to follow Hastings St. Cecilia, Kearney Catholic, Grand Island Northwest, and Giltner on their quest for state championships. Plus the state football semifinals on Monday. We'll have Shelton hosting Giltner on The Breeze 94.5 FM. And on Tuesday, Adam Central's at Boone Central on 1230 KHAS. Donovan Trumbull will be at Sutton on Classic Hits 98.9.
There is a fog linger early today, followed by some breaks of sunshine, with a high in the upper 50s as northeast winds stay at about 10 to 15. Tonight, skies will clear out across the area with a low of 44. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 37.
We have a challenger. Jeff from Gibbon knew the answer to our trivia question. Penn State, Nebraska played 14 times. Well, this will be game number 15 tomorrow. We're going to break the tie. It's 7-7, Nebraska and Penn State. And for getting that correct, good news already for Jeff out of Gibbon. He's not only in, he also has picked up the certificate from Big Daly's Deli, as they've got locations at 3505 North 2nd in Kearney, 801 West 2nd Street in Hastings, and also 610 East South Street in Hastings. A $10 large meal deal sandwich, good at any one of those three locations. They got a bazillion different sandwiches, and Big Daly's Deli also has many other items such as soups and salads. Now, if he wins, not only will he get the $20 Cunningham's gift card and a Big Daly sandwich, plus 10 free entries at the end of the season drawing for the Super Bowl party at Cunningham's Journal and a 70-inch HD TV. Congratulations, Jeff. We wish you well, but we're going to do our absolute best to beat you. I hope that's okay. Congratulations, Jeff. How you doing?
Doing well. Let's do this.
All right, let's roll up our sleeves. Let's get busy here. We'll start with UNLV at Colorado State. I am choosing Colorado State. Jeff, who you got?
I want Colorado State.
All right, Jim?
I'll take UNLV.
All right, we'll start with Jim on this one. Tulane at Memphis.
I'll take Memphis.
Who you got, Jeff?
Memphis.
Well, it's a clean sweep. I'll take Memphis as well. Miami of Florida traveling to Virginia to take on the Cavaliers. I'll take the Cavaliers, Jeff.
I'm gonna have to go Cavaliers as well.
Jim,
let's go with the clean sweep here.
All right, we got another sweep there. All right, Vanderbilt at Mississippi. Jeff, I think it's your turn. Who you got, Vanderbilt or Mississippi at Mississippi?
You say Vanderbilt at Mississippi?
Yeah, Vanderbilt at Mississippi.
I want Vanderbilt.
Okay.
I'll take Mississippi.
All right, now I'm going Ole Miss as well. There's your chance to pick up a point there, Jeff. Louisville at Syracuse, one of the better games on the board. I am going to go with Louisville in the top 10, but I'll go with them. Jeff? No, we'll go with...
Jim.
I'm
going to take Syracuse. Syracuse is, their record's not even close to Louisville, but I think this is a trap game, and I think Syracuse will be in this.
All right, Jeff, you get a chance to break the tie. Pick up a point on at least one of us.
I will go Louisville.
Louisville it is. All right, Utah at Washington. I'm going to go with the Huskies, Jim.
I'll take Utah.
All right, another shot for you, Jeff.
Washington
it is. And Jeff, will give you the choice of going first on this one. Oregon at Stanford. Games played in Palo Alto.
That's Oregon State now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oregon State. I knew that when I made my choice. All right. Oregon State at Stanford. Jeff, who you got?
I will do Stanford.
Fair enough. Well, you got Stanford as well.
Clean sweep.
All right, I think they're a favorite in that one. Missouri at Tennessee. I've got the Volunteers. Jeff?
I will do Tennessee.
All right.
I'm going to be different. Take Missouri.
All right. There you go. Going to go with Missouri. And Minnesota at Illinois in the Big Ten. Jeff, will let you go first. That's a tough one.
Let's go with the Gophers.
All right, going Gophers. I'm going Gophers as well.
I'm going to pick the Gophers, but I'm like Jeff. I don't think either one of these teams can win that
game.
We'll just pick them both to lose.
Which could happen. All right, we'll go with Purdue at Iowa. I've got the Hawkeyes.
I've got the Hawkeyes, too.
All right, who you got, Jeff?
Yeah, I have to go Iowa.
All right, a clean sweep on that one as well. And Jeff, we'll let you go first here. The total points, Penn State at Nebraska. Total points between the two teams. How many points going to be scored in that one, Jeff?
Let's do 35.
You're going 35. I'm a lot higher than that. I got 52.
And I'm higher than that. I'm hoping the weather doesn't get there in time, so I have 54.
All right, it could come down. We shared a lot of picks there, Jeff, so it could come down to that tiebreaker. You're hoping for a defensive contest.
Let's hope.
All right, well, we just hope Nebraska comes away with a win, and low points for you. Jeff, thanks so much, and best of luck for you as Pigskin Pick'em. We do it every week. And by the way, I didn't go last week. How'd you guys do? I can't remember.
We lost last week, and I tell you what, last couple weeks I didn't do a very good job, but, you know, we did run it up to $180. And, Jeff, I hope you win the $20. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, so Jeff out of Gibbon, a good shot there. Kind of a tough week, I think, picking. And some great – we touched on a couple of high school football games. We can touch Class C, too. Donovan Trumbull, that's going to be a lot of fun watching them play on Tuesday as well.
You know, I ref them against St. Cecilia, and I was really impressed with the way they could move the ball, running it and throwing it. They have a no-huddle offense. They're fun to watch. I worked Sutton earlier in the year, and they won fairly easy, and they, same thing. You know, really, both teams well coached. I know that did not surprise me at all that Donovan Trumbull's still alive in this thing. You know what I mean? And one of those two teams who are going to be playing at Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, and that is awesome. And there are a couple programs you don't necessarily think of, but they've got – you take a look at their roster. They got some athletes out there.
You know, somebody said Donovan Trumbull was going to be good this year. Yeah. And, you know, Sutton, they've been around – in other sports, winning state championships.
Oh, basketball, most notably.
And, you know, I mean, I know that the Legion baseball program's not part of the NSA, but, you know, their baseball programs won a couple state championships back-to-back. So they've been around, you know what I mean, in some state championship aspects. And this team's good, and their quarterback's really good. That Wiseman kid, he's good. But, you know, Donovan Trumbull has a lot of offensive weapons, too. I just hope the weather's good. I don't want it to be extremely cold and affect the offenses. And it could if the weather gets that bad.
Yeah, there is almost that old cliche. Sometimes when it's cold and snowy and that sort of thing, it helps offenses because they know when they're going to cut. The defense doesn't, but you just want to have it to be as fair and as – and again, everybody's playing in the same weather, but you just want it to not adversely change the outcome of the game. And that could be a great game because of that high tempo. It's interesting to me how many high schools now are kind of following Oregon's lead a little bit in terms of we want the ball more. We're good athletically. We're good offensively. We want more possessions, so let's try to score and score quickly.
You know, the game has changed. In the 1970s and 80s, it really has changed. And in college football, you know, you could score 25 points and win a lot of games, and you're not doing that anymore. And high school football's changing, too. There's not many 6-0 games out there anymore.
Well, USC scored 51 points, got beat comfortably last week.
Yeah,
I mean that just said you're absolutely right. It's changed dramatically over the last few years, and I like defense, but this is fun too.
Yes, it is. Yeah, the offense is fun, and like you said, there's just a lot of ways to score points that right now, and you know those no huddles and the jet sweeps and things like that we do now.
Yep. Well, again, a great night for athletics out in the area. UNK home for both football and volleyball. We have Loper football and volleyball tickets for tonight against Central Missouri and Fort Hays in football tomorrow. We'll just give those away. Just give us a call at 888-455-3776. Again, 888-455-3776. And we'll just give those right to you to go to watch the Lopers. Again, the six-man championship game. Obviously, we got volleyball, state volleyball. The Lopers are at home in volleyball as well. lot of great stuff to go out there. Get out there, support your favorite team, enjoy yourself. The Storm at home this weekend, and go out and enjoy some contests. Jim, good to see you again.
Randy, thanks. You did a good job today. Good job. Well, thanks. I enjoyed doing it with you.
If you can't dazzle with brilliance, you have to. I can't remember the rest of that. Anyway, we'll do this again on Monday at 11 o'clock. Until then, enjoy your weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!